You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, August 20th. Anytime I'm told that Sean Bergen is on our calendar, my excitement level rises. I can't wait to get to the studio. I know that's going to be a great show. Sean Bergen, of course, former television news reporter. He is now kind enough, generous enough to come on with us quite regularly to break down usually terrorist attacks or incidents of riots and Black Lives Matter shenanigans here in the United States. Tonight's no different. We can't have Sean on every time now that that happens, or it would just be entirely the Sean Bergen show, which he should certainly have on Fox News, I might add, because these are happening just about every day, certainly every week. But tonight, Sean's back with us to give us, as no one else can, the who, what, where, when, and why about what happened, what really happened in Milwaukee with all of these riots that everyone's been reporting on. Sean, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, James. And you?
Well, I'm doing good. I think one day before it's all said and done, we'll have you on to talk about something good. But that's not going to be tonight. Tell us about Milwaukee.
Well, yeah, James, last week, as you were on the air, we had riots unfolding, this time in Milwaukee. Of course, no different than the previous riots we've seen emerge in Ferguson and Baltimore and elsewhere, all driven by this domestic terrorist group, Black Lives Matter. This time, it involved a young black man, a 23-year-old black man by the name of Sylville Smith. I'm sorry, I lost my notes. He's a 23-year-old ex-convict, lengthy criminal record, and he pointed a gun at a cop. That cop was also African-American, I should add. Both the suspect and the cop were black. This suspect was stopped by police because there had been five homicides in Milwaukee the night before. I think a total of nine people had been shot, five of them fatally. And they stopped this guy, and he got out of the car, and he ran, and then he turned around, and he pointed a gun at a cop, and the cop shot him dead. Of course, you know, that, of course, sparked riots. Why? I don't know. You know, the riots started, of course, before the facts were known, as we've seen in previous cases like Ferguson, like Baltimore. All it takes is for a young black man to get shot in a crime-ridden neighborhood now, and that, it appears, is good enough reason to just burn the place to the ground, which is basically what happened. We had a bunch of rioters take over Milwaukee. They burned down a bank and a gas station, a black-owned liquor store. They started pulling white people out of their cars and targeting them for beatdowns, innocent white people driving by. I'm sure Jim Lancey will be able to come on later and talk to us more about the unspoken epidemic of black-on-white crime that nobody really seems to want to go near. You know, it was another night in another crime-ridden American inner city that led to, burnings of businesses, vehicles being burned, white folks pulled from their cars for beatdowns, cops targeted. They had bricks thrown at them, bottles thrown at them. And, you know, as you said, this seems to be now a semi-monthly occurrence, all but, of course, driven by Black Lives Matter, this group that began after Trayvon Martin and really gathered steam after the last time we saw a young black thug killed in the form of Michael Brown in Ferguson. And they've really taken off, and they've taken off in large part because they're being funded by the American left, by the institutional left, by the Democracy Alliance, and more specifically by George Soros, this Hungarian-born billionaire, multi-billionaire, who just seems to sow chaos everywhere he goes. I mean, I don't quite know exactly what his motivation is in trying to formate all this racial discord and racial unrest in America's inner cities. But anytime we've seen him do that in the past, it's been to collapse the local currency so he could bet against it and turn himself into an even wealthier guy. So, you know, I don't know that this is going to end. It doesn't seem to be going to end anytime soon in any of these cities. We're just going to wait for the next one. And the reason we're going to wait for the next one is because all of these cities that I've mentioned to you, as pointed out, was pointed out in a great op-ed in yesterday's Chicago Tribune, doesn't matter if you're talking about Milwaukee or Detroit or Baltimore or Newark or Camden or any other crime-filled, violent city. They've been run by Democrat politicians for decades. In the case of Milwaukee, they haven't seen a Republican mayor in Milwaukee since 1908. They've had a combination. 1908, that's 108 years, they haven't had a Republican mayor. They have had a string of Democrats. They've even had three socialist mayors. Now, if this is not evidence that their way of doing things is an abject failure, I don't know what is. But it doesn't seem like anybody's been really willing to point it out until, of course, Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, a favorite of a number of us here on the political cesspool, came out and pointed directly at the wrecking ball that is modern liberalism. He spoke about the fact that they have a 34% unemployment rate, that their schools are some of the worst in the country. And, of course, young black men growing up without fathers. Father-absent homes that has given rise to, a whole generation of young misfits who just can't really function in society. And then, of course, we have these people legitimized and emboldened by our liberal news media who legitimize and embolden groups like Black Lives Matter. These people flock there. And then, of course, they feel entirely justified then in targeting white people, targeting police officers, even if it's for murder.
Okay, Sean, this is Keith. Let me just say this. In regard to police-criminal interactions, it would seem that basically what we've come to now with Black Lives Matter is that the only way you can arrest or you can detain or arrest a black criminal perpetrator or suspect is if he agrees to be arrested. If you do it any other way, he's going to resist, and if he resists at all, the police are always in the wrong, at least in the eyes of the establishment media, for doing their job and arresting him. That's one thing. Then the other thing is there was a very interesting article about the real meaning of why Milwaukee burns by Heather McDonald of City Journal. And she thinks that Black Lives Matter has morphed from being just a protest about police black community interactions to basically a race war. This is what is being fomented by Black Lives Matter. And of course, what we haven't said yet is that Black Lives Matter is supported 100% by Hillary and the Democratic Party.
Hillary and the Democratic Party and our own President Barack Obama, who has basically turned the White House into their clubhouse. They have had meetings at the White House. I mean, this is being dictated and driven from our own White House. I mean, how is it that the American public is a big percentage of the American public who still supports this president, who still supports Hillary and her husband and George Soros? I mean, this is like something out of a James Bond film. These are Bond villains. I mean, these are like international style gangsters who are engaged in international style money laundering and sowing chaos here. And when you've got a guy like George Soros behind it, and I think I've seen estimates that say nearly $100 million has been dumped into this organization by leftist fundraising.
Well, he's certainly getting his money's worth if you look at the number of cities that have burned and the amount of carnage that has been brought by Black Lives Matter in this short 2 or 3 years they've been on the watch. We got to take a break. Another segment with Sean Bergen right after this.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Was basking in the glow of Sean Bergen's Manifest Magnificence that last segment. He said so many things that were spot on. And the first being, and this was something, of course, not mentioned by, at least to my knowledge, any news network other than this one. And Sam Bushman was covering it last week. But the denizens of the undertow in Milwaukee were looking for any excuse. And this is something that Sean highlighted in the last segment. Basically, the narrative in the establishment press is that there are these racist white cops that are just driving around looking for the first black they can shoot dead in cold blood and murder. And as Sean mentioned, as soon as there's a police shooting involving a black male, this is the predictable response, except for the fact that they don't wait for any facts to come out. They don't wait. Of course, they don't wait for any judicial procedure to have its say, and they don't wait for a court of law to render the facts. They just go out and start burning, and they burn their own neighborhoods, which really makes no sense. But in this case, it was obviously, based upon what we see right now, apparently at least, completely justified, whether it had been a black cop, a white cop, a male cop, a female cop. But in this case, it just happened to be a black cop and a black suspect.
Yeah, look, if you point a gun at a policeman, you know, policemen are trained to take that down. They should.
Completely justifiable. But anyway, so this was what triggered the whole thing in Milwaukee. The narrative is white cop finds a black guy, shoots him dead, and then so you got to burn your own houses down. But in this case, it was a black officer. But I want to get back to this also very quickly and then turn it to Sean. This has been the summer of blood. And the last time Sean was on, I think, was right after the police shootings in Dallas. And I asked Sean on that night in July. I said, Sean, this is going to happen. It's going to be a couple of days. People forget about Dallas. It's not going to be reported anymore. I mean, it wasn't like the Dylann Roof thing, which we still hear about every day. This is just a black guy killing a bunch of cops, nothing important. And certainly that's been done since then. Bristol, Tennessee, Black Lives Matter guy shoots people. You had the truck attack in France, ISIS. You had the Baton Rouge police shootings just 10 days after Dallas, Black Lives Matter. Wurzburg, Germany. Munich, Germany. Another place in Germany. Muhammad kills three people. A failed bombing in Germany. a priest in France beheaded. This is all since Sean's last appearance last month. Orlando was a few days before Dallas. You had Rochester, Minnesota, a priest stabbed in Belgium, another knife attack in London, machete attack in Belgium. It goes on and on and on, and that's not even counting Milwaukee, Sean. That's not
We need to celebrate this diversity from the third world that keeps coming into Europe and America, apparently.
How much worse can it get, Sean, and where do we go from here?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a big question that's hanging over. It's a question that's on a lot of people's minds. I mean, it's you've pointed out this combination of we've got a combination of domestic terrorism going on and international terrorism going on with ISIS and with Black Lives Matter. When Dylann Roof shot those folks in that church, everyone in the liberal media pointed to the fact that in the background of one of his photographs was a Confederate flag, and then that became like, you know, the one thing that just had to be eliminated from every aspect of American life was the Confederate flag, because that may have triggered him or inspired him. In the case of Black Lives Matter, we have a very clear-cut example of people who are psychologically, on the fringe, who are influenced directly, and you can see the influence because they say they were influenced. We can see it in their social media posts where they say, yes, you know, this guy is obviously inspired, motivated, emboldened, legitimized by Black Lives Matter. But we see nothing in the news media pointing to Black Lives Matter as being the driving force behind these cop killings. I mean, you would think, with the way the press covers it, that they're just trying to unravel society. I mean, I can't understand what's behind it. I can't understand the thinking behind all of this, that not only would you encourage and embolden an organization like Black Lives Matter, but you would continue to import young refugees from these ISIS hotbeds and give them a home here in the United States, give them money, set them up. It seems to me that there are forces in this world that maybe they're bigger than what we're able to see, who are really just trying to take this country or Western civilization down to its knees. I mean,
they want to turn us into a third world nation is basically what it is, Sean.
They want to sufficiently weaken the United States and Western civilization, but toward what end and for what ultimate purpose?
Well, that's a good question, too. We have a caller that I want to get to because we're running short on time, but let's just go to this caller. Caller, ask your question very quickly for Sean. I know you're calling specifically for Sean, and then we'll let him wrap it up. Go. Jay from the South. Go.
I'll make it quick. I'm looking at this media problem. I started attacking it like any man would, a white man would attack something, and I started doing it from the ground up, and I thought about it, and I said, well, what's wrong with the media? It has a lack of competition. Well, what would it take for me to buy enough equipment to broadcast my own signal? And the answer I got blew my mind. It was so cheap. For the price of a crappy car, I could broadcast my own signal. If I could jack straight into the cable fiber optic lines, anybody could do it. I'm like, we could have had YouTube in the 70s. Like, what's the problem? And I realized the FCC artificially keeps the prices so high to operate a television or radio station. It's 100-year-old technology. It's old as heck. Anybody could do it. And I know you guys have connections with David Duke. And my question for Bergen is, if I'm on the right track, if I am understanding that right, and if it is true, do you think David Duke could make that a part of his platform to get rid of the FCC? And then maybe next time Bill O'Reilly shrills all this crap on Fox News, Sean Bergen could come on afterwards and go, let me tell you what crap Bill O'Reilly just said into your ear, and here's the truth.
Hey. Caller, thank you for the call. This actually leads me to something that we had intended to ask Sean. Keith, go to this is related to the question. I'm not trying to short-circuit this, but we're running out of time with Sean with regards to the media and access to it. What do we think could be coming up according to what we've heard
in the
press?
Here's what we think is coming up. Bannon is with the new campaign head, or one of the two co-heads of the Trump campaign, is big with Breitbart News, and the leftist media is going berserk about him. There's also a big article in Vanity Fair this week about the new proposed Trump News channel. I think Trump realizes he's going to have his own media outlets, or else he's going to have nothing but relentless negativity. And Sean Bergen seems like he would be a prime candidate to be on that new network. We wanted to get your reaction to that, Sean.
About Trump starting his own TV network, that he was going to team up with Roger Ailes and Stephen K. Bannon, who's proven to be a powerhouse in alternative media by really turning Breitbart into a force to be reckoned with. Look, there's been nothing official mentioned that. That's all speculation from terrified leftists in the media who are just scared beyond belief that somebody like Trump and Ailes and Bannon could team up toward that end. It sounds like maybe they're on the same team right now anyway, but Trump has a reputation for attracting winners. Bannon is a hard-knuckled, take-no-prisoners kind of guy, as is Trump, as is Roger Ailes. Whether or not they would all team up and start their own network, of course, is something that remains to be seen. I think that Trump right now is targeted on winning the presidency. I think that he echoed the sentiments of Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark in pointing toward liberalism. He's the first Republican candidate who has come out and publicly attacked liberalism as being the source of the troubles in the black community. He's the first one to have had the courage to do that, and I think he's going to attract a lot of black voters for that reason, because he's coming out telling them, basically, you've got absolutely nothing to lose by taking a shot on me. After 60 or 70 years of Democrat rule, they have brought you nothing but misery. You guys need to wake up to the fact that you're on a liberal plantation, and I'm giving you the opportunity to leave. Trump is going to grant them the keys to leaving the liberal plantation. I think he's going to embolden a lot of black voters who are going to look
Sean,
at and say, you know what, this guy might have a point.
Sean, thank you so much for your professionalism, for being part of our family here on the Political Cesspool. I would say I just got an email in from a listener that said since his speech in Wisconsin this week, according to Fox News, Trump has jumped 10 points in the black community. So we hope that that's true, and we hope that that'll follow suit in the white community as well, and that he'll make America great again come November. We'll talk to you again, Sean. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Jim
My
Lanzia
pleasure.
Up
Thanks
next.
Thanks for having me on, James.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The National Security Agency, which for decades has carried out the world's most powerful and sophisticated electronic surveillance and espionage program, appears to have suffered an unprecedented infiltration at the hands of a murky hacker collective calling itself the Shadow Brokers, reports Foreign Policy magazine. In an anonymous post on the Tumblr social media site, Shadow Brokers displayed downloadable files that were described as samples of NSA-created malware programs that can be used to penetrate commercially available online networks. It also offered a set of encrypted files that can supposedly be used to overwhelm more sophisticated firewalls. The second group of files is offered for sale at an online auction that would be paid in Bitcoin. The hacker collective promises that if they receive at least 1 million Bitcoin, the rough equivalent of $550 million, they will upload more documents that will be available for free. Computer security experts who reviewed the malware files posted by the Shadow Brokers told Foreign Policy magazine that they appear authentic. If the leak is a genuine sample of NSA code, which so far researchers say is the case, then this month's season of information warfare has taken yet another bizarre turn, comments the publication. On the heels of the DNC breach, a chorus of American politicians has called for the United States to respond, and some believe that the posting of NSA malware files may be an escalating conflict in cyberspace between the United States and Russia.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare, but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Sean Bergen, what can you say about the guy? Such a boon for this program. We picked him up. We saw him on the Megyn Kelly show right after he was dismissed for making what they said was racially insensitive remarks for a major cable network in the New York, New Jersey area. All he said was fathers should be in the homes. And so he got fired, and we picked him up, and he's been with us ever since. And he's just a great talent and asset, as is Jim Lancia. What another incredible pickup for the political cesspool to have Jim Lancia be able to come on as our criminal justice reporter. He's a former police officer, youngest cop to serve on the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department, patrolled the most dangerous streets in the most dangerous cities in America during the height of the crack epidemic. And, of course, he wrote the book Downtown White Police, demonizing the alpha cop, glorifying thugs, and militarizing law enforcement. Jim Lancia, how are you, brother?
Great, great, James. Thanks for having me.
Always good. We have a caller that we're carrying over from the last segment, and we're going to get to him and then get to you, but perhaps he has a question you can chime in on as well. Cody, you have a question or comment tonight?
Yeah, man. It's great to talk to you guys. I'm just to let you all know, I'm just now coming over to the Paleo Conservative and introduced to the alt-right message and everything. But what I was wanting to say is I've learned more listening to your show to deal with the media and stuff. I mean, these guys, I don't know if y'all knew about it, but Historical Preservation Society down in South Texas recently got a hit piece done to them by a guy. I don't know. I won't say his name because he's such a piece of garbage. But they went in there. The guy took him in his house and, you know, made him coffee and to discuss, you know, about the Confederacy and stuff. And the guy just did a complete trash piece on him. And I told my guys at my meeting tonight, I was so proud about, you know, telling about James and stuff, that I've learned more about dealing with the press just listening to James, saying just don't talk to them. Or if you do, record it live and stuff. You know, it's just really helpful. I'm just really proud, and it's a great resource, James.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Cody. Keith, and then let's go to Jim.
Yeah, Cody, what you need to remember is that they will be consistent. They will lie. They will be underhanded. They will misrepresent themselves. They will get 5 hours worth of tape on you and use 5 seconds of stuff spliced together so that they get the sound bite that they want. There's no percentage in talking with the mainstream media unless it's a live interview that's live on their media, because otherwise, unless you make a complete fool of yourself, you'll be left on the cutting room floor.
All right, Cody, thank you for your call and for
thank
the compliment.
You thank you so much.
Well, it's because of listeners like you that we're even here at all, so all credit be to you. Let's go now back to Jim Lancia, one of our correspondents, a member of the Political Cesspool team, and he, of course, as Bergen was earlier, to talk about Milwaukee. Now, Bergen and Lancia make a great 1-2 punch for us because, number one, they're both professionals. Sean Bergen made a living in the news media. Jim Lancia made a living in law enforcement. And when you put them together, you have two insiders offering commentary that's right up our alley on the important issues of the day. So we had Sean comment, Jim, on Milwaukee from the perspective of a former reporter, you from the perspective of a former law enforcement officer. What was your take on what you saw?
All right, very good. Well, you guys covered the basics of Milwaukee pretty well, so I'll try not to be redundant here. But as far as looking at it from a former police officer's point of view, I'll just give you a few facts that I think stand out. I think Sheriff Clark handled the situation as best as anybody could. I think he did some top-notch law enforcement there. Just by his response and being ready and taking charge of the situation. I think the Milwaukee police did a pretty decent job. They made some arrests. They also saved some 18-year-old white kid that was shot in the neck by some of the rioters. Have you heard about that?
Yes, we have.
Okay, good. An 18-year-old white male. I guess the cops went in there and kind of rescued him from further trauma. Now, it just like I've been saying and we've all been saying, Black Lives Matter doesn't give a hoot about black lives, And it's not just about white cops shooting a black thug in the line of duty. Here's a black cop doing his job in the line of duty. So it doesn't matter whether the cop is white or black. They're trying to disrupt normal law enforcement. Now, I'm going to try to give you an answer to where this is all going. But so basically, you know, they enacted a curfew, and there was a lot of damage, private businesses. But the most disturbing part, and I think the most undercovered part by the mainstream media, was the beatdowns of white people. White women driving through just unsuspectedly, pulled out of their vehicles, probably coming home from work. People being chased down for the color of their skin. And that doesn't make any real news. In fact, CNN did some editing on the sister of the thug that was killed. In fact, she's the one who said, let's go to the suburbs and burn their stuff. You know, not an exact quote, but the CNN was known for editing the part where she said something like, you know, they edited to make it look like she wanted a peaceful solution, not to take it to the a white neighborhood, supposedly the suburbs. You guys are aware of the CNN editing of that, right?
Yes, we are. You know, Jim, it seems to me that rather than being about Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement is basically just an attack on police and the thin blue line that basically protects all of us from living in a Hobbesian chaos. They apparently think that somehow the police need to stand down, and if they don't stand down, they're going to be portrayed as the next Bull Connor or worse, and they're going to have their career ended ignominiously and unceremoniously. They just want the police removed, and they want chaos to reign. Heather McDonald, who is a mainstream contributor, she's on Fox News continually, wrote an article for the City Journal called Why Milwaukee Burns, and she said that she thinks that Black Lives Matter has morphed from being a movement concerned with interactions between the black community and the police to basically trying to foment a full-blown race war. And basically, when I heard you talking about white civilians being pulled out of their cars and beaten up and threatened or worse, that's what this sounds like. What's your take on this?
Well, it is similar to yours. I mean, I've never seen it as anything legitimate, like you said, this woman said, as a legitimate advocacy for, you know, police brutality. I've never seen it that way since the beginning because of the way they handle things and the situations they demonstrated against. You're right about this. They do want police to back off, but there's a reason behind it. And think about this. I look at them as a political terror arm. Now, who could be behind this? Well, Soros is behind it, but who is Soros with? Soros is with Hillary Clinton. We know that the president himself coddles Black Lives Matter. How could the Democrats benefit from all this civil unrest? Who benefits? Well, I think Hillary Clinton can benefit from a race war that can happen all through the summer. I also think Obama could benefit from it, and I think it can hurt the upcoming election. I'll get to that in a second, but here's a direct fallout of Black Lives Matter actually even winning some battles in Chicago, for instance. Just by police having to back down, you had in 1 week 110 people shot in Chicago, 24 killed. This year alone, so far in August, year to date, you have 2,621 shootings and counting, 445 total homicides. That's a 50% rise since last year alone. So that shows you the devastation of the Black Lives Matter terror movement. Now, most people don't even realize that Black Lives Matter are being paid. The insurgents are being paid like $16 an hour. They're being given all kinds of things by all the Soros foundations. You got their leader, D. Ray McKesson. He's making like $160,000 a year, living in a fancy house in a fancy neighborhood. This is a terror arm, and I think it's a political terror arm, and I think a Democratic political terror arm, because they seem to be all behind them, and they never really come down on him the way they should is, you know, with the media, of course, with the, you know, Democratic media. And I'm going to bring politics in this because I truly believe, like you said before, making America a third world hellhole will benefit the Democratic Party because that would ensure a Democratic hegemony and they would be able to remain in power with the votes that they would get.
All right, Jim, hold on right there, my friend. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll let you continue that thought, and we can't wait to hear it right after this on the Political Cesspool. Jim Lancia, our guest, former police officer,
let's
breaking it down.
And come back to the Political Cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
What a fast hour it's been. When you surround yourself with talent, that seems to happen. Sean Bergen on for the first half of this hour. Jim Lancia, former police officer, on for the last half. Of course, what Sean was mentioning earlier, and as you always mention on this program, Keith, liberalism is a mental disorder. There's no doubt that liberalism has had a hand in the downfall in Milwaukee and other cities, although it's not just liberalism, as we see, because liberals run Boulder, Colorado, and Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, and those cities don't burn. there's something a little extra.
The only way those seeds would burn is if they found their marijuana stash and put the light. That would probably cause a fire that would be on a par with the Great Chicago Fire.
But
I do say is that liberalism is the modern face of evil, and I think that's even more important to understand. There's nothing good that comes. There's no fruit from that poisonous tree that could do anybody any good.
But, of course, what separates the liberals in Milwaukee versus those in those other locations is that the liberals in Milwaukee also have something in common racially, and those are the cities that burn, whereas white liberal-run towns don't. But and this is what we're talking to Jim about, and Jim has served as a police officer in majority-minority communities. So two things, Jim, to you. You said in the last segment that you believe that Hillary Obama could benefit from these burnings. Offhand, I would say it benefits Trump to see Black Lives Matter burn down city after city. You would think that America would say, hey, if we get Hillary, we're going to get a continuation of this. Let's vote for Trump unless...
You need the law and order candidate.
Right, of course. Unless you believe that perhaps it could get so bad that martial law is enacted. So, Jim, two questions to you. In your opinion, how does Hillary slash Obama, Hillary is, of course, an extension of Obama, how do they benefit from what Black Lives Matter is doing and burning down these cities? And separate question, part two, how would you, as a law enforcement officer, like to have seen Milwaukee handled?
All right. Well, I'll handle what you said about Hillary first. Remember, we all know how crooked Hillary is, and she'll stop at nothing. I mean, just the fact that the FBI failed to prosecute her when there's overwhelming evidence against her to put her in prison for a long time shows you how much influence she has. Plus, she also offered Loretta Lynch, the highest-ranking law enforcement officer in the United States, a Supreme Court appointment if she was elected. Now, with these powerful people in control, anything can happen. But you know, of course, we don't want that to happen. Would it benefit Trump in a normal situation? Absolutely. It would almost ensure his election. But in the current climate, the current political people we have in there now, you can expect just about anything. But I'll get back into that in a second. But as a police officer, how I would have handled it? First thing I want to say is, as a police officer and being around police officers for most of my life, I have to tell the general public that no cop goes on his shift looking or wanting to shoot anyone, whether he's black or white. It's something we want to avoid. It's something that we all hope doesn't happen. We're all prepared for it because it's inevitability sometimes, but it's not something a cop wants to do. So that picture of a renegade cop, whether he's white or black, just wanting to shoot off a few rounds and take somebody out, especially a black male, is a lie beyond lies. And it is a false perception of most of the good people that serve in our law enforcement community. Now, as far as how I would have handled it, I think Sheriff Clark handled it fairly well. I would have probably wanted to engage the arsons and the beat-down people, attacking people racially. I would have been more hands-on in that. I don't know where the Milwaukee police was. A lot of times in these riots, they tend to all stand together with shields and riot helmets and try to take up a position. I think they should have had a few more scattered units, you know, units of 5, 6, maybe 10 guys, deployed in the stuff, in the mix, right where it's all happening, right where the buildings are burning. I mean, they see the people throwing rocks. They know they're pulling people out of cars. I think they really, you just got to get in there and you got to break it up. And if you got to use force, you got to use force. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think this movement is so powerful right now that it's turning cops into holding back when they know they have to do something. So what happens in the end when cops can't do their jobs or are afraid to do their jobs because of the political backlash of this Black Lives Matter movement and the political climate is they just don't do anything and they feel safer not doing anything. And the repercussions of that are innocent people get pulled out of their cars and beaten for the color of their skin, or the homicide rates go up in all the cities and crime just becomes something that is way worse than it has to be. And that I think that's what they want. I think it's exactly what they want, because I don't think Trump can be beaten in a normal political election. I think many things have to be manipulated behind the scenes, higher up, to make to either cancel the elections because of the racial problems that they're fomenting, or some other nefarious way. I mean, believe me, I want the elections to go off. I know Trump would win in a normal election, but I just absolutely have no confidence in how we're going to get there and if we're going to get there in a normal way. But so basically, as far as handling, I did a video today on Milwaukee race riots on my Downtown White Police channel. You know, I kind of look at that as the R-rated version of political cesspool. But so I go into detail there. I say things there that you can't say here, but not as eloquently as you guys do.
Jim, let me say this for a moment.
What's that?
I was going to say this. We're overlooking one really important thing. Regardless of what the police do or don't do, the biggest problem is that the narrative, the portrayal of what is done to the public, falls in the hands of what Donald Trump has called the lying press, this establishment press that seems to have it out for the police. We need to have alternatives. We were reading the press releases this week about the change at the top of the Trump campaign, and they've hired Mr. Bannon of Breitbart, and they've talked about a Trump News. I quite frankly don't think things are going to get any better for the police or for the middle of American society generally until there is some true diversity in the press corps, because they're the ones that are driving this narrative. They're the ones that continue to give publicity to obviously wrong-headed incidents, like, you know, one incident after another with the police, the black perpetrator turns out to be in the wrong. The police are prosecuted to no effect, but it's like water on a duck's back. We keep hearing the same thing over and over.
Right, and you're right about the media. I mean, what they've become is truly disgusting, and they are turning all of these things into something. It's like an agenda. They have an agenda, and they're following orders. And ever since the propaganda ban was lifted and it's legal to put out propaganda by the government, it has become what it has become. And like you guys said before, there is no more investigative journalism. That was a great tool to keep politicians in line, to keep everybody in line. All these investigators out there and reporting on nefarious activity. I mean, this was a good thing. I don't think it's done anymore. And with that, you have the media as they are today. I mean, stations like Political Cesspool, I mean, believe it or not, I'm not just saying this, but it's very valuable as far as media goes. And people don't realize it. It needs to grow and grow and grow, because honestly, if this is the only one of the few stations you could completely tell the truth on, and Americans need that now. And I would love this channel, radio station, to become a place where law enforcement and just good Americans in general could come to hear honesty, the truth, and make them feel comfortable.
I think
people.
Jim, thank you for the compliment. And of course, having professionals like you and Sean Bergen as part of our team makes it that much more efficient and effective. And of course, what
Incredible.
Sam Bushman has built here on the AM radio airwaves with the nationally syndicated show is impressive and important, because there's a lot of great internet shows out there, but certainly with AM radio, you get a little bit more legitimacy and credibility and access. And so we need our people doing their work wherever they can. And certainly you, with this outstanding YouTube show and your incredible book, we only have seconds remaining. We've been talking this whole hour about Milwaukee, but I want to spend the last couple of seconds allowing you, our good friend, to plug his wares and work. Give us the YouTube channel for Downtown White Police and, of course, the Amazon link for your book.
Thanks, James. I have many videos. I discuss many of the things they talk about on Political Cesspool. It's called Downtown White Police YouTube channel. And please check it out. It's very important. And my book, is The Downtown White Police, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's a hard-hitting book, and it talks about a lot of things that just aren't talked about. Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
It's our honor and pleasure entirely and privilege to have you and Sean on, again, respectively, professionals in your field in media and law enforcement. You did the job. You know what it's like. You know more than us and any other outside of law enforcement what it's like to be a cop in this political environment and climate, and to have you on as a resource to share with our audience these observations is just an incredible thing for us to be able to do. And every time you're on, it makes the show better. We're looking forward to the next time already. Jim Lancia, everybody. Check him out on YouTube. Downtown White Police is the book. Amazon.com. When we come back, Dr. Kevin McDonald.
The one and only.
Stay tuned. Thank you, Jim.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.